Welcome back to the second part of Blow the Trumpet in Zion Message, concluding with the return event in Washington, D.C., with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn's prophetic message to the church in America. Let's join Pastor Mark now with the conclusion.
And so there is a movement taking place to return us to first love and to get white hot back with the Lord. Because Jesus loves this church, and that's why he brings words of correction through men and women of God that are speaking something in this day and age, getting all of our attention. If, as spoken to all seven churches, if we will have ears to hear, if we will hear the sound, the clear sound of the Holy Spirit trumpeting a voice to each and every one of us. Amen? And so these are things that I believe, looking at my own life, that God is doing. Now, I'm going to make a transition here right now through the rest of the time together. I want to talk about something that's going to take place, that is taking place this Friday and Saturday in Washington, D.C. And every one of you can be a part of it if you want. And I'm going to go ahead and just begin focusing on this. Most of you have, if you've ever read anything by Pastor Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, he is the senior pastor or head rabbi of Beth Israel Worship Center in Wayne, New Jersey. And he first wrote The Harbinger
in 2011.
And he's written many books since then. But he said that the Lord would not allow him to pen The Harbinger 2, and he began putting pen to paper before all this took place here, before all this pandemic and everything took place here. And he thought that he thought it was very unique that God's timing, that right as he said, pen it now, and then all this stuff started happening, because it was already at the printers. It was just amazing when you hear the story of this, that there is, I believe, as Jesus told the five of the seven churches, two of them, Smyrna and Philadelphia, that he did not use the word repent, that the call of repentance is going out to the church of Jesus Christ, or the call to return, and that's what this event is called. It's called the return, coming from the word repentance, to turn back to God. Like I read in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, return to the Lord. And there's this call, because it is a very critical time, not just because it's an election year. And I don't know which way the election's going to go, but I do know that which direction the church can go. Amen. And there is a clarion call out to the church for the church to wake up and to be the church in the day and age in which we're living. Remember, everything that we see taking place in the natural is the result of a spiritual warfare that's going on. And if we just get our eyes on the natural, if we just get our eyes on the news, we can lose sight of really the battle that's taken place in the spiritual realm. I would just like for you to watch right now this 30-second promo of the return. Heal our land.
Are the shakings that have come to America a sign of impending calamity? Could they be warnings of approaching judgment? We've turned away from God. Is he now calling us to return before it's too late? The voice of God is calling. Return to me, and I will return to you. The Return, September 26th at the Washington Monument at 9 a.m. And all over America, you can't afford to miss it. Go to thereturn.org.
I would just like to say this, that you can watch these live events. Most of you, when you came in today, there was a sheet given about Friday and Saturday and the times of the things that are going to take place and the speakers that will be speaking there during this time, that you can go to thereturn.org, your computer, your tablet, your smartphone, mobile device, and there will be a watch live thing that you can click there, and no matter where you're at, you could even probably, if you have a Roku or Fire Stick, all you have to do is go to the search engine and type in The Return, Jonathan Kahn, and it will show you the live event that you can click on. So there isn't probably anybody here that doesn't have some type of smartphone or mobile device that you can't go ahead and watch it. Let's put up the next picture there. It's called A Global Day of Repentance and Prayer. It begins here. How many of you know it begins with the individual? It begins with the person. Then it begins with the church. Then it begins with the church within that nation. Then it deals with the nation, and then it goes on globally. In order for there to be a true awakening or a true revival of God, there is a call of God, as we just got through reading here in Ephesians chapter 5, that we need to awake from our sleep. We need to rise from the dead, and Christ will give us light. So there is a movement, there is a word going forth from these different men and women, and there are all kinds of men and women that are going to be there at this event. As you can actually see, their names are written here on this sheet that you have, and the different times that they're going to be speaking. They only were going to have the live event on Saturday that you could watch. I recently got some updates. They are also going to post the 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday night event for people to watch also. Can we see the next one? I think it's called Crossroads. It's a 30-second video.
We are standing at the crossroads, a moment that could seal the future for calamity or redemption. We've driven God out of our culture, out of our lives. We war against his ways. The only answer is to return before it's too late, to bring healing, restoration, and revival. Return to God, and he will return to us. The Return, September 26, 2020. Go to thereturn.org.
I like this promo because it focused on the Word of God. It focused, that last thing where you see the Bible just close there and it says, Holy Bible. We need to hear the Word of the Lord and what the Lord is speaking and what the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring to our attention in the day and age in which we are living. And there's something he's wanting to communicate. And I believe that if we will be sensitive to the Lord, if we will take time, since the blowing of trumpets, the feast of the blowing of trumpets happened Friday at sunset. This coming Sunday at sunset that the Day of Atonement is celebrated by the Jewish people, that during these days, if we will spend some time, if you will spend some time, if you could find, maybe you'll go through this and ask the Lord. I'm not sitting there to say, spend three hours. If you can Friday night, fine. Hey, it's better than going and watching a movie somewhere, okay? But ask the Lord, as you're going down there and seeing some of these speakers, if something stands out to you, mark off that time and go online and watch it. Because God knows you and where you're at spiritually and who you need to hear. And if you don't ever ask, you're never going to receive. And God, there's something that he's wanting to communicate to each and every one of us during this time. John the Baptist, when he started his ministry, he started with repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus, when he started his ministry, he said repent and believe the gospel. When Jesus resurrected from the dead in Luke 24, he said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached into all nations. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the very first thing that he said when the people were cut to their heart about Jesus and the gospel that he had just preached, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul meeting with the elders of the church at Ephesus, I have not ceased to declare unto you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus to John in the last book of the Bible, Jesus himself tells the church to repent. And what grieves me so much when I hear men and women of God who say repentance is no longer for believers in Jesus. And Paul says, I was with you for 3 years and I preach repentance and faith. Jesus, after all the apostles are dead except for John, somewhere around AD 90 to 100, Jesus himself is saying for the church to repent. And you've heard me say this before, if Jesus didn't want repentance spoken to his church, well, he didn't get the memo that some of the preachers are preaching nowadays. Matter of fact, Jesus sent out the word before some of these preachers today are saying we no longer need to repent. And the Word of God says we need to, even through the mouth of Jesus. So if five of the seven churches needed to repent and the other two needed to keep holding what they had, we also need to. Amen? Let's go to the next picture here. Can we not agree with that? Return. We are at the threshold of the greatest move of God in our time. There have been many who have declared that there is going to be one final move of God prior to Jesus coming. And the reason why they speak of this is that when you look at the feasts of Israel, that the last feasts have to do with the fruit harvest, or gathering in the fruit of the trees. The barley's been gathered, the wheat has been gathered, but it's now the fruit harvest. We have a tree behind our house over here. It's an avocado tree. And man, has it been dropping avocados this year. And the people that bought the house last year, they don't really care about the avocados. And so there's a little space between our house and their house. There's an alley there. How many avocados do you think we've got this year, honey? 50? I don't know. I mean, we've just all these avocados that we just go out there and pick them up. The squirrels love them. The rats love them. The possums love them. The raccoons love them. So I try to get out there before all the vermin try to get in there and get them, you know? But it's the time of the year for the fruit harvest. Avocados are dropping. My lemons on the tree are ripening. And if this, there's a final end time gathering, but if the church isn't awake to gather in, then we're going to miss opportunities. And that's why God raises up men and women at certain times in church history to get our attention. Number one, for us to return to the Lord and use us as a clarion voice to others to return to the Lord or come to know Jesus and get saved and be born of God so they can become part of God's kingdom, part of God's family, and to know the love of God that we all have experienced and we all know. So let's go to the next one. Okay, it's this Saturday, September 26th, and once again, prayer and repentance. And you can go to it at thereturn.org. Next. Now, this is the overview of events. It's kind of far back there, but I believe I can see it. As I have already said, that Friday night beginning at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is going to be the first event that everyone can turn into and watch. And then the next one is going to be, 9 a.m. to 5? 9 a.m. to 5 on Saturday, and there'll be an hour break, and then it will conclude at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday evening. If I was to ask all of us, when was the last time that any of us laid aside quality time to spend with God, knowing that we will be joining in with brothers and sisters of one mind and one accord, not just all over the United States, not just in Washington, D.C., but people tuning in all over the world. Next one, please. This is the location of where it's going to be, in between, the Capitol and the Washington Monument. Can you believe that? Did you hear a few weeks ago that the mayor of Washington, D.C. wants all these monuments tore down? Yeah. I'm not going to politicize right now. I promise not to do that. But let me just say this. When you start tearing down these things, you start getting rid of a history that we need to learn from. And have a lot of things been done in our history that are wrong? Absolutely. But just as I was watching this Jewish Christian testimony movie the other day, and I saw this the Messianic Jewish dad who had died, and they were going out at the end of the movie, going out to the gravesite and to the place where he's buried, and how the daughter left a stone there. How many of you have ever wondered why Jewish people don't leave flowers, they leave stones on people's graves? Because all throughout the Old Testament, when they marked a ceremony with God, God had them pile up stones to remember what God had done. The crossing of the river Jordan, when they came across, pile up some stones here so that when you and your children come back by this way, well, what do these stones represent? Oh, let me tell you what God did. Let's remember what God did on our behalf as a present remembrance of what God is doing and what God will yet do. So we remember the past of God for a present experience of God and know that He will and can do it again. Amen. And so it's to remind us of the all-powerfulness, almightiness of God. When God came down and connected with the children of Israel, God came and connected with us here. Remember, was it Jacob going through Bethel? And he puts his head on a stone one night. He goes to sleep. And he has the vision of what we refer to as Jacob's ladder, and angels ascending and descending from God. And he has this wonderful vision. He wakes up the next day, oh my gosh, God is here. God is here. Where's some oil? And what does he do? He pours oil on the rock. See, rocks were used to remember encounters with God. And we're also told that God is a rock, and he's the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the foundation of our life. And that when God comes, he can take an ordinary rock and anoint it with oil and bring his presence. And we have to have an understanding that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the bedrock of our life. And what he did yesterday and in times past, or in revivals past, or in the book of Acts. Let's take some stones of spiritual remembrance of what God has done before in the church. And that what he has done in the past, he wants to do again in our day prior to his coming again for us. And come back to a place of believing God and trusting God and grabbing hold of God. You're the Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bring that rock of remembrance, bring that revelation and have it anointed with the Holy Spirit and become a living, vital reality within your life. And you can become part of something that will take place this weekend. Ask the Lord what your part would be. I believe if we get more in one mind and one accord, we'll have an understanding. Let's go to the next one here.
Since the dawn of time, man has sought a touch from heaven, only to fall away again and again. Yet in every age, men have risen up and called us back with one hope: to see mankind unite in the spirit of prayer and revival and commune with God once again. These great men recognized our fallen state and called us to humility that leads to repentance, confession that brings forgiveness, and prayer for God's mighty hand of favor and protection. In 1857, God used an ordinary clothing salesman named Jeremiah Lanphier. In a small room in the heart of New York City, he invited others to simply pray for 1 hour. At noon on September 23rd, Jeremiah started on his knees, alone. By the end of the hour, he had been joined by five more men. That was the beginning of the Layman's Prayer Revival. In a few short months, meetings had sprung up all around, with daily attendance growing to 10,000. Today, our nation is nearly as divided as it was then, just prior to the Civil War. Our one hope is to gather pastors and Christian leaders to stand united to awaken our churches, communities, and our nation once again through the power of prayer.
This is our wake-up call. Now is the time for repentance, time to turn back to God,
which leads to reconciliation with God and with each other,
bringing about restoration, a healing of our relationships and our land.
Then revival, a move of God like we've never seen before.
A God-led reformation.
The Return, September 26, 2020. Go to thereturn.org.
If you heard that some things that were mentioned in that clip, repentance, forgiveness of sin, which causes us to pray for revival, then to see a move of God through your life to reach other lives for Jesus. And this is exactly where this will end. It's just not to bring guilt trip. It's to bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon the church so that we as the church will take our rightful place again and be the church while we are here in this world. Amen. So I would like for you to put up the next one here. Do we not agree with this? America, it's time to turn to God. And if you notice, there are those two verses there. Most of us know 2 Chronicles 7:14, but you've heard me say recently, and I even believe I said it in my Thursday class, we need the verse 13, and we'll get to that in a minute. Next one. It says there in Malachi, return to the Lord, and I will return to you. Malachi 3:7. Remember, even in the New Testament, draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. So the Holy Spirit gets our attention to make steps toward God, and God begins making steps toward us. He wants us to know that by the Holy Spirit, that there is something that he is speaking, and he's convicting our heart of what we need to make sure that we're listening. And when God sees the hearkening of a heart moving toward him, I guarantee you, just as a prodigal son came walking down that path, came walking down that road, and the father saw him and ran to him, I also know that God will do the same for us when he sees us returning home to him. Next verse. Now here's the verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most of you know, if you've read, the Solomon was the one who built the temple. We call it Solomon's temple. And he had this prayer to God that God came in and they had all these instruments, and it says the glory of God filled the place. In other words, God put his yea and amen on it, and they couldn't even stand to reason. They couldn't even play the instruments anymore. They were just all down on the ground, and it actually happened twice when God's glory fills the place. And then Solomon offers up this prayer, but God responds. God answers back. And this is part of God's answer back. When they did not honor the place of the temple, when they did not honor God as they should be honoring God, when they did not seek God as they should seek God. And this is what God says. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. See, a lot of us, we don't look at that. When the hand of God is removed, then all these other things are allowed. When the hand of God is removed by the purposeful choices of his people, sinners are sinners, okay? But the saying that hit me many years ago, as the church goes, so goes the world. That when the church becomes compromised, when the church becomes cold, the church becomes lukewarm, we begin losing our testimony in the world, and the world becomes darker because the church has gotten darker. And so all's for these things to take place is for the church not to follow God as they once did, and the hand of God removed, and these things begin to happen. But God gives us the remedy when we see. I mean, they talked about locusts this past year like it's never been seen before in certain places of Africa. I mean, it seems like California, Washington, and Oregon are on fire. One person on the news, this lady screaming, "It's Armageddon! It's Armageddon! Look at it, it's blood red outside! You can't even see the sun!" It's just, and then it shows the news camera going up to the sun, and it just looks red. Just looks red because of all the fire and the smoke. Or, you know, the smoke creating, when the sun comes through, it a redness, a red look. And this lady's just like freaking out. If she's freaking out, how many others are freaking out? The next verse says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We just stop right there. It's like, he's talking to God's people. You think that sounds like sinners, right? Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now listen to that. Hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So it talks about what God's going to hear, God's going to forgive, not just the land of our hearts, but there's going to be a move of God throughout our land. Amen. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're believing God for? You are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to use your life to reach other people that aren't a temple of God, that don't know Jesus, that haven't been born of God. It says that people that are not born of God, they don't even get to see or enter in. We get to enter in, but are we awake enough to realize somebody outside of Jesus doesn't get to enter in? And do we have, as David said, is there anyone out there that cares for my soul? Next one, please. So it says over here, I believe it's in Jeremiah that the next verse is here, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And I believe that during this time, because the hearts of these leaders are right before God, that this united time of prayer, as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And I do believe it's a time coming together as the church united, and there is going to be a hearing from heaven and a response from heaven. Next verse. Ezra chapter 8, verse 23. See, we fasted, petitioned our God about this. And if we need to be specific about this, about God's coming back to his church, about the church in its place of needing repentance and returning to first love once again, and to be used of God in this day and in this hour. And he answered our prayer. And we have to have an understanding. If we're united in these prayers, if we're united in what is taking place here, then we can all be united together in the answer of what's going to happen. And the next one we all know, it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when this happens, then the next verse is experienced. The one that I read from Joel today that Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And isn't this what we want people to experience? Isn't what, you know, we want this to take place? And so before I close this morning, I want you to hear for the next 9 minutes, Pastor Rabbi Jonathan Kahn give this exhortation to us before I close. Please listen.
America's in danger of calamity. We must return to God. This is Jonathan Kahn, author of The Harbinger. Join me with leaders and people from all over the nation for a pivotal event, The Return, on the National Mall, Saturday, September 26th, in between Capitol Hill and the Washington Monument at 9 a.m. You can take part from your home, your church, your town, your city. Go to thereturn.org. Saturday, September 26th, by the Washington Monument, 9 a.m., thereturn.org.
This is Jonathan Kahn. We are standing at a pivotal moment in American history and world history, a moment that can permanently seal our nation's course and the course of the world for good, for bad, for calamity, for redemption. America and much of Western civilization was founded on a biblical foundation stone, but it's turned away from that foundation. We have not only driven God out of our public life and have called what is good evil and what is sin good, but we have sacrificed the lives of over 60 million unborn children. And America's fall from God is not only progressing, it's accelerating to the point that it's no longer just a falling away, but a war against the purposes of God. I wrote in The Harbinger of the signs of judgment that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel, warning of calamity, and that these same signs of warning have now appeared on American soil. The biblical template concerning judgment is that the nation so warned is given a space of time to return or to head for judgment and calamity. We are now in that window of time. But if America continues on its present course, that window will come to an end, and there will come a flood that will begin the end of religious freedom, even usher in persecution, and seal America's fall. And if America falls, it will affect the entire world. This year, 2020, is crucial, as it leads to a presidential election in which the stakes are higher and the necessity of prayer more critical than ever before. And even if the election goes in the direction of biblical values and righteousness, if we don't see a spiritual turning, an awakening, a repentance, revival, then all the political, legal, judicial, and cultural efforts will ultimately fail or be undone. We have a window of time, and the purpose of that window is to return and for revival. Without that return, America will be lost. What can we do? What can you do? In the days following 9/11, people flocked to houses of worship, and it looked as if there could have been a spiritual revival, an awakening, but it never came because there was no repentance. And without repentance, without a turning back, there can be no revival. But I have seen once in my life the hand of God change the course of American and world history. And it all began not in the halls of government, but with the people of God who gathered in a sacred assembly in our nation's capital with the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sinful ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It can happen again. But if we don't respond now, at this most critical moment, we may never have the chance to do so again. Since the time of 9/11, I've been calling for return, for repentance, for revival, not only as individuals, but as a nation, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. At the same time, a faithful man of God, Kevin Jessup, has for years carried the burden of a sacred assembly for that same purpose of restoration. We are convicted that now is the time. Therefore, this is the announcing of the return, the national and global day of prayer and repentance. It will be a day, and more than a day, a time and a season for the movement for prayer, repentance, return, and revival. The central day will be Saturday, September 26th, in a sacred assembly, according to what is laid forth in Scripture, to take place in our nation's capital on the Washington Mall. For those who can't make it or want to do something where you are, then gather together in your states, your cities, in your towns, in your houses of worship, in your homes, or be part of those gatherings already planned. This will take place not only 40 days before the presidential election, but also on the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower in the days of America's founding and dedication to God. And surrounding the day of return on September 26th will be 10 days, known from ancient times as the 10 days of repentance, starting with the Feast of Trumpets and ending on the Day of Atonement, to set as a special time to intensify our prayers, our intercessions for repentance and revival, September 18th to September 28th. Believers and leaders who are already part of the return include everybody from Pat Robertson to Dr. James Dobson, from Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, to Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, and many, many more. When does the return begin? Right now. How? With you and me, as we commit this time and this year for return, prayer, repentance, and revival. To commit first to our own repentance and to begin actually living in revival. And then to pray for others, the return and revival of our nation and the world. You who are parents, begin by leading your families in revival. Ministers, lead your groups in revival. Pastors, lead your churches into revival. Leaders of ministries, movements, and denominations, lead your people into revival. And spread the word to everybody you can. Let the believers, pastors, and churches in your areas know. Use social media, use everything you can to spread the word so they can have a part. And if you're watching this and you're not sure you know God or that your life is in His will, then come to Him now or come back to Him now and then come join in the return. So I invite you to come to the nation's capital on the Washington Mall, September 26th, 2020. Plan now. You can rent buses, trains, cars, planes, however you can come, or gather wherever you are. And if you're watching this from a nation outside of America, you can be part of bringing the return to your nation by doing what I've set forth in this message and going to the return website for more information. I'll be sending out more messages as we go forth. But for now, for more information, to have a greater part, to represent the return in your area, or to stay up to date, if you're not already on that site, go to the website for the return, which is easy to remember. It's the return website. The Lord is calling. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sinful ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The movement and chance we have before us now may never come again. If we don't return now, we may pass the point of no return. So now, in view of the calling and of the moment before us, let us each rise to that call to do what he has called us to do, to believe for great and mighty things we know not of, to return and seek to live in revival and become messengers of revival. It's time to break up our fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord as never before. It's time to return.
I'm going to close with Peter's second message, the instructions that he gave to all those that gathered after a lame man was healed. They wanted to know by what power of godliness that this lame man that had been this way for how long, 40 years, was now healed. And he goes in and he begins sharing about Jesus Christ and this Prince of Life that God raised from the dead. And it was in his name and through faith in his name that this man was completely healed. Yes, faith, which comes through him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I believe that there's a restoration that God is also doing of the power of God and greater manifestation of the kingdom of God. But there's a pattern here through Peter's words that he gives these people, is a pattern that I believe that God is doing right now and has given to us as his church. That if we follow this pattern, that we can also experience what Peter, how God used Peter and John when that lame man was healed, that there's also going to be many others, whether they be spiritually lame, lame in their souls, or lame in their bodies, that God is going to use us, and there's going to be a greater manifestation of Jesus within this world prior to the second coming of his return. And these are the instructions that Peter gave those people who were gathered there. In the very first one that we've heard this morning is the word repent, to return, to come back. And then it goes on to say after that, it says, repent therefore and be converted. Return, if you look that up, just look up that word. Return to original design. Return to that which God has always purposed us to be in him. And so many of us in the church that we've lost sight of the new creation life. We've lost sight of union with God. We've lost sight of this being that we have become, and we are spiritual beings living as mere men. And at times we've lost something that he's wanting us to return to and be converted, return to original, return to that new creation that we have and experience once again the forgiveness of sins. And if there's something that we need to deal with, that it be completely obliterated or blotted out from our life. So that times of refreshing, or as Jonathan Cahn used and others, so that we may experience revival, so that there may be a refreshing, the breath of God once again being coming to us and through us, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And as someone already spoke this morning, that after our time of worship and praise, that there was a presence of God that people sensed here this morning. And there is a presence of God, and he gives us taste, and he gives us glimpses of what we can experience on a greater, more magnificent level. And we taste it a little bit. It's almost like a foretaste of what God is wanting to do. That he wants to send times of refreshing and have an experience of his presence. Why? Verse 20. So that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Two sendings of Jesus. One, as Jesus walked through the church back then, he's walking through his church today, prior to his second coming. And so there's a coming of Jesus even right now, even here, this moment, right now, today. There's a Jesus walking through the candlestick right now of Christian Service Center, walking through the candlestick of your individual lives right here. The Word of God says that the Spirit is like the candle of the Lord, and the Lord knows how your life is burning. The Lord knows where you are at spiritually. Will we dare right now say, Lord, I allow you to walk through the candlestick of my life. There is no door that if I've got a door closed and knock on it so I can hear it. Just like you said in that seventh church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are we willing today, are you willing today to dare to allow Jesus to walk through your life and knock on a door that you may not even realize is a shut door to him and he's on the outside? Are we willing? Because he said, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And he says, therefore, be zealous and repent. What? When you hear the knock at the door, like, whoa, wait a second. I'm here. There's a separation between me and Jesus. There's something where he's not in, and he knocks to get our attention so that we will open the door or repent, because he said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So when we hear what he's saying and open that door, it's repentance, because we're wanting him to come in, or the presence of the Lord, the times of refreshing to come in, that he may send you or you may fellowship with Jesus and live in a fellowship with Jesus. And so right here in Acts chapter 3 is a pattern that God has spoken to the church back then, that he's speaking to the church now. He's speaking to me now. He's speaking to you now. So will you allow Jesus to walk through? Will you repent if he speaks? If he senses that he's knocking at something within your life, and you ask, no big deal, I don't hurt anybody by doing that. But if Jesus knocks at it, which he does, and I'm sure all of us know that, then repent. The words that were said here at the very end there, he said, own or personal repentance brings us to a place of living a revived life so that God can use our lives to reach others. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're here for? So Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now. There are a lot of things that have been said here this morning, Lord. There's been a lot of your own personal dealings with my own life, Lord. There have been areas that you've been knocking at the door of my own life. And I've heard your voice, Lord God, and repented, allowing that door to come open and experiencing, Lord God, times of refreshing, your very presence, supping with you, Lord God, having you speak things, Lord God, into my life that are just so personal, so dear, so near, Lord God, that I believe that there are some here today that don't even have a reference point of what I'm speaking of, because it's been so long since they've had that type of intimate communion with you. But you don't want them to stay there in that place. So we ask you, Jesus, we ask you to come. We ask you, Lord God, to somehow reveal to our hearts, as it says in one of the prophets, to break up the fallowed ground, to allow the moisture once again of yourself and of your truth, Lord God, and the speaking of your Holy Spirit back into areas that it once bounced off, Lord God, that no, we are not going to allow the word to bounce off, Lord God, that our prayers are not going to be like brass, you know, reflecting back on us, but they're going to make it to where they need to go. And there's going to be a response from heaven, Lord God, because we are turning back to you and moving toward you, Lord God, even right now, even if we just have to say, you know, I just got to take these words by faith that Mark is saying this morning. I just got to go ahead and just grab this and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. As the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Galatians, he prayed for the Galatian church in I believe it's 4:19, Lord. Oh, Lord, that Christ would be formed in them again. A church that knew you, had their sins forgiven, Lord God, and got into activities and works and thinking that they could achieve something, Lord God, by meriting something before you. And it was all done by you, Jesus. And he said that there's a forming, there's a revelation of Jesus that needs to be brought to you again. Lord, whatever revelation of yourself that you need to bring back to each and every one of us, bring it back, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, that where you need to be formed and molded within our individual lives, we're asking. I give you permission. May all of us here this morning say, Lord Jesus, I give you permission. I give you permission to walk through my life, to walk through my mind, my feelings, my emotions, my ups and my downs, the good and the bad, the things that I think with inside me, that if people knew some of the things I think, they may not even think I'm saved. Sometimes even the doubts that I have about you or about heaven or about the Word of God, sometimes these things plague me, Lord God, but they don't plague you. And then we're just being honest right now, Lord God. We're being honest before you. Some here today, Lord God, that they're believing you for healing within inside their lives, and they've actually seen it go in a different direction. But Lord God, there's a restoration that you're bringing in. There's a reviving that you want to do, Lord God. There's a hope, a faith and a love that you want to develop in all of us once again, Lord God. That there's nothing impossible with you. Nothing. Your word tells us through the pen of Mark, have or possess the faith of God. And there's something you're wanting us to grab hold of, Lord God. But it first requires a turning to you, a repentance, a going from the doubt, a going from the unbelief, a going from the questioning, a going from the I don't understand, or going from a promise that we don't see coming to pass that we're now questioning. No! No, Lord God, I repent. You are true. You've always been true. You cannot lie. You're not a man that you should lie. What you say is your word, and your word is your bond, and your word is true, Lord God. I turn to you and I embrace you, Lord God. I embrace the fullness of your word. I embrace the fullness of who you are, Lord God. And anything within me, Lord God, there may be a mountain inside of me of doubt or unbelief. But as long as there's a seed of truth, Lord God, just a seed, Lord God, that you want to spark, that you want to water right now by your Holy Spirit, that's all that is necessary is just a seed, just one word from you, watered by the Holy Spirit, to cause faith of you, Lord God, to arise with inside of us, can look at that mountain and say, get out of here. Be cast into the sea. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You've got no right to exist with inside my life anymore. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's what the Word of God says. And that's a place that He's bringing back to every one of us. So we thank you, Father, for a breaking of the fallowed ground this morning. You, Lord God, hoeing, Lord God, the soil of our heart, Lord, so that you can get in a word, a seed, just a seed. All it needs is a crack right there, Lord God, to get one word in there that's all I need, just that little bit of crack in that soil there. And I can get in there and that water can get down there and grow just a full crop right there. So we thank you, Father, for true repentance. We thank you, Lord God, that we are hearing your voice and how you speak to each person here today. You are standing at the door and knocking. And we are listening, Lord God, and we are opening the door. True repentance is taking place, even if we're just grabbing hold of it right now by faith. Just being in agreement with what Mark's saying and what all of us are here believing right now, that we're going to be a part of this group, Lord God, of a people returning to you. That there's a spiritual CPR taking place right now. There's a breath of the Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You've raised up men and women, Lord God, all over the country, all over this world. The bride, the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. There's a word going forth to your church right now, Lord God, saying, come home, come back, return. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And those who have an inward thirst for more of the things of God that you may not have been experiencing. And he who thirsts, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, freely, to be refreshed by God, that he may send his presence, that he may send the very person and the reality of Jesus to you. Hallelujah. So you can sup with him and hear what your precious Savior has to say to you. So we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for repentance coming to my heart. I thank you for breaking up the fallow ground of my life, Lord God, that you may come and reign righteousness. Reign the fullness of what you have secured on our behalf for us to experience while we're still here on this earth, Lord God. Not just a barely getting by church, but a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. People shining, Lord God, that we arise, that we shine, Lord God, and we allow your glory to come upon us so that those who are sitting in darkness will see a great light. They will see and know the truth of Jesus Christ. They will hear that gospel message, repent and believe, Lord God, and become part of the family. So as you said in the book of Hebrews, many sons and daughters will be brought home to you in glory, Lord God. And we want to be a part of that work, Lord God, that you are doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus.